The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 93. Another Netflix original, Warrior Nun. So I'm going to give it away right now. We both really liked this, but we understand that a lot of people haven't seen this yet. So we make our case for why you should check this out. And we talk spoiler free for over 20 minutes, like 21, 22 minutes, because we really think people should see this. So if you haven't seen it yet, give it a shot, pause it, then come back. We promise you, you won't be disappointed, maybe in the podcast, but not in the show. So, without further ado, let's get into the story. Good morning, John. How you doing on this fine Monday morning?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Nice to be kicking off another week here at Arkham Comics and Games. Great place to get all of your favorite comic books, except DC. And you can get those if you want them.
Just don't read them. Yeah.
Make a big stack. They're great for holding doors open.
Just buy them and then run away in shame.
That was our DC moment, brought to you by Indie Comics. Speaking of DC, that was a pretty cool cover last week. Is that a Matina?
Yeah,
I'm just looking at it.
I didn't. 97.
Yeah, that's I like that. How many hands are on him there in that cover?
No, I don't have it. I don't have it in front of me.
You have at the top left corner, you have a hand with a gun in it, and then the top right corner, you have like looks like a. I think it's a hand, and then you have the cane from the Riddler. A hand has to be holding that. It's like there's all of these things going on, but it's
too many hands.
Yeah, pretty cool artwork though. Batman's all beaten up. Definitely a good cover.
Yeah,
can't wait to maybe read it someday.
Maybe, maybe someday.
You calm down at all?
Not much.
Not much.
No.
How? I meant to ask you last week, how many more weeks do we need now to release the hounds? Did this set us back 2 weeks, or maybe if your order comes in okay today, we'll be good?
I don't know. It depends on Friday and what happens if there's any more. Now, it really depends on DC, you know?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if we have
need to stop.
If we have a decent week this week, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Or are we set back? We need another three in a row.
I don't know if we need three in a row, but.
Yeah.
Because this is—it's no longer a shipping issue with Lunar,
right?
It's just a like so the shipments from Lunar are not going to sway me now one way or the other.
Yeah,
it's whether DC can keep their mouth shut and stop.
I mean, really, what else can they do to you? Make us draw comic books?
Oh man, I need to knock on some wood, man, because like don't even call down that misery on me.
I know.
It's like, what more could they do? Well, I hold my beard, says DC, and
right. That's what I mean. I mean, how far can they go? It's like, here's some blank covers. Make your own.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know. All right. Let's get to some positive talk. Nothing more positive than Warrior Nuns, right?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, there's just two things that go together, like peanut butter and jelly and Warrior Nun. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that. I'll be honest with you. I'd never heard of this. Until, actually, Slade was the first one to mention it to me, and he mentioned it to me about 8 hours before you did. So, let's play the trailer and we'll get into it.
All right.
My whole life, I've dreamt about being dead. I leave my body, and I see myself from above. A normal girl. Until I wake up and realize that I'm still the freak I've been my whole life. One thing I've learned since then, life has a really good way of making your dreams come true.
Go, 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 go,
This isn't a dream. This is hardcore, real life. No. With superpowers?
We belong to the Order of the Cruciform Sword. Devout women who have dedicated their lives to fight in an ancient evil. Whoever bears a halo is a new champion. A warrior or not.
I'm sorry, can we maybe jump to the part where any of this has anything to do with me?
Hell will rise up, heaven will fall. How did our greatest weapon against evil end up in an unbeliever?
Your halo is a gift. You're God's champion. It will enhance whatever natural abilities you already possess.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're entering a new era of enlightenment. Heaven does exist, as I discovered a gateway to it.
People have tried to make me into something I'm not. Pain is what made me a sister warrior.
Shotgun Mary. Cool name. Why do they call you that?
I drink a lot.
Sometimes life just changes right out from under you, you know?
Yeah,
there's something special about her.
She's great. Really stable.
Find that girl.
I train harder than anyone else.
I really hope I got God's message right.
Your best, Joella Kanan.
Bless you, Richard. Too far.
All right, John, did that trailer refresh your memory on what you saw a few weeks ago?
It did a little bit. You know, I just watched it, actually, before we started recording, and then I heard it again just now. So, and yeah, I've spent the last 30 minutes or so preparing for this show, reading... You know,
just like high school.
And, yeah. I got the cliff notes. Just to get it, like I said, just to get it fresh back in my mind again. You know, it doesn't seem like it was that, you know, I watched it, I think July 2nd is when it dropped.
Yes.
And I watched it that weekend. So it's only been 2 weeks, which, you know, you would think it's not that long ago, but like I've consumed a lot of TV between now and then. And I can only keep so, you know, like my, picture my brain like a coffee cup, and it can only hold so much.
Little teacup, maybe?
Yeah. It's like a thimble, really. So
I didn't want to go that far, so I'll let you do that.
Really, by the time I've watched episode 2, I can't even remember episode 1 anymore. So yeah, it just wasn't fresh in my mind. Like, I distinctly remember really enjoying it. Spoilers. But I couldn't really remember the details of it. So
speaking of that,
I'm a little bit fresher on it now. So.
Yeah, let's go a little spoiler free because a lot of people, like I said before, I'd never heard of this until it came out. I didn't know of the comic. I've done some research on that and I really enjoyed it, but I think a lot of people haven't heard about it. So let's talk about it as much as we can, spoiler free, to give people an idea on why they should watch it.
Yeah, well, again, yeah, I don't know how many people have heard about it. Obviously, you mentioned it's based on a comic that came out in the 90s. It was written by Ben Dunn, and it was called Warrior Nun Ariala. So what's a little different about this series is that, you know, this is not, I mean, spoiler free, but we're not following Ariala, which when I originally heard about this show coming, that's what I assumed that we were going to watch. So I've never read the comic. And to be fair, I started to read it after I watched this show because I really liked the show and I wanted to read the comic. Didn't like the comic nearly as much as I liked the show. So
from what I understand, the comic followed Shannon, who, like, this is supposed to be a completely different story than the comics. Because from what I read, Shannon, and that's, I mean, it's not a spoiler, she dies in the opening scene of the show. So it's not really a spoiler. So it's different from the comic in that way, from what I understood.
Yeah. So this is, you know, there's obviously a long line of warrior nuns. So the first warrior nun is Ariala.
Right.
And I, like I said, I didn't read all the comic, but the one issue that I read, it focused on Ariala. So, I mean, okay. I don't know where it went from there because I didn't go any further. But, you know, this is a tradition that's passed down through generations. So when we get to this series, which is taking place basically in current times, there's been a long line of warrior nuns at this point. And Ava, who is the character we meet in this show, is just the latest to take up the, you know, the mantle. So yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, it's just like it sounds, right? Like, it's right there in the title. They don't bury the lead. It's, you know, warrior nun is exactly what it sounds like. You know, there are a sect of nuns in the Catholic Church called the Order of the Cruciform Sword, and their mission is to fight demons and to fight evil, right. You know, throughout history. So that's what they do, you know, and they train, you know, and there's always a successor. So, you know, there's always somebody in line to become the warrior nun when the current warrior nun falls. You know, that's kind of what happens as it gets passed down through time. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say, spoiler, like, you know, what else to say about it necessarily. But that's in a nutshell, that's what the premise of the show is.
Yeah, did you see where the story came from? Where Ben Dunn got the story from?
No.
Okay, so this is actually pretty cool. So back in the 90s, he had read an article in the New York Times about a group of nuns from, of all places, Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And there was this nun, Sister Mary, who had been a black belt in judo, I think it was. And then she learned taekwondo. And she had, that's what, or actually, I think she took up taekwondo from a Hell's Kitchen martial arts master. But they were New York, and they said they were just using it for exercise, according to the article, okay? But this got him to thinking, because, you know, people were speculating that the nuns were using this for protection, living in that right. rougher area of New York at the time. And this got him to thinking, Ben Dunn, that is, like, how cool would it be, like, if these nuns were actually part of a warrior cult that was meant to protect Earth from the demons right. and everything. And then he came up with the idea of, like, why couldn't the Vatican have, like, a set of nuns there? How powerful the Vatican is. And he's saying that he has said this. The Vatican's more powerful than a lot of people even realize, because it's, you know, it's a church, but it's actually its own country. It's the smallest right. country in the world. They have probably the most influence around the world of any country. Right. And because it's the largest religion on the planet. So he, all of this thing he puts into, like, is going around in his brain, and he comes up with warrior nuns. You know, I was reading this as I was watching the episodes, looking back, like you, I wanted to read more about the comics and stuff. I never actually got into the comics. I didn't have time, because I just started watching this last week and I binged my way through it. But yeah, it was pretty cool founding, you know, the way he figured this out and came up with it. And it's kind of funny, like, where you can get inspiration for a story like this. Pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it is funny.
But as far as the actual, like, Netflix series goes, like mm-hmm. you, I really, really liked it. I thought it played kind of slow at the beginning. I thought the special effects of the, quote, demons were hokey, but then that actually, I believe, when we get into spoilers, I think that plays into it at the end. You start to understand that. And I love the ending of this too. It's if you're watching this and you're struggling through the first, and I don't think the first few episodes are slow by any stretch, but it is kind of like, oh, okay, well, it seems like a standard, you know, warriors fighting demons type story. But I can tell you, spoiler free, that it's not. I think it's completely different. It's a really fresh take on a bunch of stuff that we'll get into in spoilers, but it's definitely worth the watch. I think each episode is roughly 45 minutes average,
yeah,
I would say. Some right. are 50, some are 40, 39, something like that. But it's a pretty quick watch and definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I really liked it a lot. I mean, it's the whole thing is a slow burn, you know, as far as the hero's journey goes. You know, like she, I mean, maybe I should wait
for the spoilers to talk about this, but like this is very, like this show is very Buffy-esque. Like this reminded me a lot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
You know, very similar setup, you know, I mean, pretty young girl gets supernatural powers, has to go fight, you know, demons or vampires or whatever. You've got, you know, in Buffy, she had Niles, who was like her mentor. And in this one, we had the priest, Father Vincent, who mm-hmm. was kind of like her mentor. So it's very similar. But where it's a little different is like Buffy right away, like, embraced her role as the vampire slayer. You know what I mean? Like, she found herself in this situation and she just jumped in with both feet. You know, in this show, you have Ava, and she's a lot more reluctant, you know, to be the hero. And there's reasons why, and like I said, we can go into that a little bit further. But, like, her journey is much slower. Like, she spends almost the entire season coming to grips with, you know, whether she wants to be part of this or not. So it wasn't like most shows where, you know, you get through episode one or two, and they're like, oh, I gotta be the hero, and I'm just gangbusters, and I'm going to just jump right in and fight the bad guys.
Right.
And this was different than that, and I thought that was a little refreshing. But it did make it play slower. You know what I mean?
It plays slower, but I think it also makes the end ramp up that much stronger.
It does, and again, while it played slower, you almost are rooting for her to not become the hero throughout the entire show, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because of the circumstances that she grew up in, she wants to just live her life, and you kind of, like, want that for her, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. It was a little bit different than kind of your run-of-the-mill show where, you know, like I said, people are always put in a situation of adversity, and they just jump right in and want it.
Yeah. There's a lot of doubt here. There's a lot of back and forth. But I think that is what really plays to this story, which in the last two episodes, it just, like I said, everything means something throughout this story, which is why I want to go back and watch it again. Because I think the second viewing, you're going to see things that you didn't even know you were going to be looking for in the first viewing.
Yeah, I'll definitely give this another watch. It's just, you know, I won't watch it again for a couple of weeks probably, but maybe when I'm done with Avatar, I might throw this on again because I definitely want to see it again.
Yeah.
Like I said, I really enjoyed it. I liked all the characters. There's a really great group of warrior nuns. And yeah. You like all of them, you know, even the ones you're not supposed to like that much, you still end up liking anyways.
Right.
And like I said, there's just a really good cast of characters around her. Father Vincent, you know, you kind of like. You've got the well, this is not spoilers, so
right. Sister Lilith, she was pretty cool.
Yeah, Sister Lilith.
Shotgun Mary's the best. I mean, you got a name called Shotgun Mary. I mean,
oh no, Beatrice is the best, man. Come on,
you know who Beatrice reminded me of, and it's not her. I can't remember what was the woman's name in Iron Fist, his girlfriend.
Oh, what is her name? Colleen Wing.
There you go. Look at you.
Yeah. I knew it would come to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It very similar. Yeah. It wasn't obviously not the same actress.
And I had to look her up.
Similar badassery though. Like,
yeah,
they both stole those shows. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
She was awesome. Like that. I think it was episode four, which I only know because I'm looking at it on the Netflix page where she's like in the hallway. And she has to fight all the security guards, and she just rolls that chain mesh mask over her face and just commences to put a whooping on all these dudes. And it was awesome. I mean, really good. There was a lot of great choreography and fight scenes in this show. They really did a good job. Like, it's not quite on par with like Daredevil, but it was reminiscent a little bit to me of that. Like, it was really good. Like, Netflix is great when it comes to putting these shows together. Like, the choreography and the Atmos and the, you know, the soundtrack and all that stuff, I thought was really good. So,
yeah, I mentioned this.
Like I said, there was some really great scenes in this, but that was one of the best ones.
Yeah, I mentioned this in my home theater podcast in that it has some really, really good sound effects in it. The opening scene, We'll probably open with that in spoilers. I thought it was pretty funny, but they're in the catacombs type space, and just the ambient sound of the wind whishing around the room was really cool. But yeah, it's really, really, and like you said, really good choreography, really good battle scenes. And they're nuns, and I've worked with my daughter at jujitsu and stuff, teaching her some stuff. And the idea of jujitsu is you get close to your opponent, which usually throws people off guard, because if you're going to attack somebody, you think that person's going to be afraid and back away. But if you get right in on them, it scares them, right? And I said to my daughter, I go, and you're a girl. When a girl gets in close like that to attack you, that'll put off even a big guy. You're like, what the heck is going on here, right? Imagine if it's a nun. Right. Like, and that's what I kept thinking in this. It's like they totally use that throughout this series of like, they're like, oh, they're just nuns. And then they just kick ass. Like, it was really, really cool. Just a fun, fun take on the entire thing. And maybe a little blasphemous, but
yeah, for sure. And, you know, and it sounds really silly, right? Like warrior nuns, like,
right.
It sounds dumb, but it's, I don't know. It's not like it's, like I said, it was really good. I think it had a lot of good moments. It was really charming when it wanted to be, and it had really good action when it wanted to. And yeah, I think the performances by all of the cast were really, really good. I just think they did a really good job with it. So,
yeah, especially by the time you get to the end, I really think that you really find out how well they were acting and playing their parts to a T to pull off what they pulled off here. I really enjoyed it. So, you ready to get into some spoilers?
Sure.
All right, lock that door up.
All right.
All right. First spoiler, like I mentioned before, it's not a time period piece, and that was super cool how they introduced that, because, like I said, it's like they're you're in the catacombs, and Sister Shannon is dying on the table. And you're like, oh, obviously you're introduced to this. There's a blue glowing sword. If you notice that when it comes in, she's got blue glowing shrapnel inside her or something. And Sister Shannon's dying. And you're thinking that this is, I, like I said, I come into this completely blind. I have no idea about this story. My wife the same way. And we're sitting there watching it. And of course we're in the theater. And I'm listening to the whooshing sounds, and even she commented, like, oh, it sounds like we're in a cave. It's so cool.
Right.
And then you're thinking that this is taking place like 1,000 years ago or something.
Right.
And then the father's iPhone goes off on the right side of the room. And my wife sitting on my left looks to the right side of the room and goes, what is that?
Is that like the Starbucks cup on Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Like they just forgot about it.
Exactly. But yeah. No, I thought it was a great way to introduce you to like how they just say sucked you in. Right. And this is 100%. I mean, we are in spoilers. The door has been locked. Let's jump right to the end, because they sucked you in on that. Right. And then what happened? Even actually, now that I think of it, before I get to the very ending, you don't know, even if you've read the comic, you don't know when you're coming in on this. This could have been a time period, you know, it could have been 1,000 years ago, right?
Right.
So even as a faithful reader of the comic, you're thinking maybe this is, you know, like you said, worrying on Ariella.
Right.
For all you know, that's the origin story. So it could have been 2,000 years ago. And then that cell phone goes off. So what is that telling you? That's like, oh, geez, things aren't what they seem.
Right.
At the end of this, the entire thing wraps up, and nothing in this entire story is what it seems. If anything else, everything in the story was the opposite of what you thought, which I thought was so cool. And it made everything, even how crazy is that? I feel bad jumping right to it, but it is my favorite part of the story, is that all those demons, they were angels.
Right.
And you're like, wait, what? And I was talking with Slade about it the other day, and he's like, yeah, he goes, even in the Bible, it says the angels don't look like people with wings. They look, they'll have multiple eyes. They're kind of monstrous looking to a human eye, but it is. So that's what those things were. And those things were actually trying to protect the planet. The warrior nuns had the wrong mission.
Right.
And it's a super cool story. And the entire meaning of this whole thing, I thought was, we could get into all the different little things with Ava, but it's, I just thought that ending was crazy.
Well, and I mean, talk about daring Netflix not to renew it for season two, right? Like, that is like one of the biggest cliffhangers like I've ever seen on the show.
I said that.
You're kind of like, isn't there another episode? Like, is that the end? You know?
Right. I was going to wrap up with that. I was going to wrap up with that because I was going to be like, this is one of those things that there was like 10 minutes left and I tapped my little Apple TV remote and to see how much time was left. I'm like, oh man, there's not enough time here to wrap this up.
Right.
Or it's going to be a lousy wrap up because it's going to be, oh, okay, we saved the day, blah, 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 and it's all over.
Right. The end.
And it's not. And I said, like, my wife still hasn't finished it yet. And I said to her, I go, wait till you see this ending. I was like, this isn't a spoiler, but there's definitely a season two.
Well, we don't know. We hope.
We hope.
We hope there is.
The way they ended this, it was like, it wasn't like on a cliffhanger. It was like right in the middle of a battle. Like, this isn't over.
Right. Well, you know what it reminded me of? Like, I big fan of Battlestar Galactica, you know, the newer, the 2004 show. And I did a rewatch of it, and I listened to the Galacticast podcast. And they had the creator of the show on there. And he was talking about the season finale of season one. Because, again, at the time, they hadn't been renewed for season two yet, and they didn't know they were coming back. So, spoilers for those that haven't seen it, but it's 17 years old now. At the end of the cliffhanger, at the end of season one, is, you know, Bomer shoots Commander Adama, right? And that's how it ends. And it was basically, he said, Ron Moore said, it was like, that was my, I dare you to sci-fi to not renew it for season two. Because the backlash from the fans, like, they never would have heard the end of it. It was almost like that ending guaranteed that he was going to get at least one more season. And that's what I thought of when I saw this show. It was kind of like the writers are like, okay, I dare you. You know, the ball's in your court. Because this has actually been pretty well received. You know, I wasn't sure, but I was looking at the, you know, before we started, the ratings, and this, it's gotten a lot of views. So if Netflix doesn't renew this, there's going to be a lot of people,
right?
You know, out there complaining. So I think that was a tactical move on their part to make sure they got to come back for another season. So, but yeah, giant cliffhanger.
Huge cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You know what I thought of when this ended? This, you're gonna like, you'd be like, you're an idiot.
Oh, I don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear what you're gonna say for that.
No. So in sixth grade, they used to have in homeroom, they'd pick two papers a week, like creative stories. And if they picked yours, you got a coupon for something, like a free Sunday at Carvel in Franklin. Right. So I wrote a story about these two ducks, Quacky and Wacky, and their adventures. That was their names, right? I was in sixth grade. Right.
Yeah,
right?
No, I hear you.
So I ended it on a cliffhanger. I didn't know it was going to get chosen, but if it did, even in sixth grade, I was like, I'm getting two coupons out of this, right?
Right, because I'm going to have to write the sequel.
So it ended on the cliffhanger, and they brought me back the next week. But when they announced that, you know, and you got to read it in front of the school. So when you read it, and it's like, when they announced me in the second week, yes, we will give Mr. Briggs his coupon this week, but if this is continued, this is his last coupon.
Right.
So I had already continued that one.
Oh, so it was
So I had to go back.
It was already trilogy?
They gave me the trilogy, but I only got two coupons out of it because they were onto my game.
Yeah, I was going to say, this can go on. This is a serial. It's going to go on for like, you know, there's like 26 chapters of this.
Exactly. I was going to, as long as I'm getting free Sundays.
Right.
So basically, I didn't get renewed for season three.
Now, to be fair, when you were in sixth grade, weren't all your Sundays free Sundays? Because you weren't buying anything.
No, but to be fair, it was probably cheaper to buy me a trophy than it was to sign up for soccer or baseball or whatever.
True.
It's like, I don't care. I was happy I won something. Look, Ma, you got to take me to Carvel.
Right.
But hey, I thought I had the scam going, but I didn't get renewed for season 3. Oh, well.
There you go.
I put it out anyways. But yeah, that's what I thought is, because that ended on an absolute, like, not even a cliffhanger. It's like over the cliff. And right. Come back next week, see where they land.
Yeah, I'm already hanging off the cliff with one hand.
What did you think of the story of her and the boyfriend and that group? That might have been the one down part of Ava and her. I felt like that story was like her sowing her oats, but I didn't really catch any kind of continuity with the rest of the show.
Well, that's what I was alluding to earlier. Like, I actually liked all of that because, you know, so let's back up because we're in spoilers now, right? Like, the story begins.
So. We just talked about the ending.
when we meet Ava, she's dead, right? Like, she was
a
19-year-old girl who had been a quadriplegic her entire life, had never left her bed, you know, and it was murdered when she was 19. So, through a series of mishaps, she gets the halo and rises from the dead.
But yeah,
well, it wasn't really a mishap, but they were hiding, like, they were just hiding the halo in her body. Like, they didn't think she was going to come back to life. You know, when Sister Shannon died, they took the halo. It was supposed to go to Sister Lilith, but she wasn't there. Like, they got attacked.
The wall fell on her.
Right. They got attacked in their cave or wherever they were. And the nuns took off trying to hide the halo, and they hid it in her body, thinking that, you know, it would be safe there until they could come back and get it and give it to Sister Lilith. And then unbeknownst to them, the halo brought Ava back to life. I liked that she was basically, like you said, sowing her oats or whatever, because this was a girl who never lived, you know, like she never had a chance to live. She had never walked, never danced, never done
those scenes of her on the beach playing with the sand, letting the sand run through her fingers.
Yeah.
Those were awesome.
That's why I'm saying, like, it seemed like it was a slow burn for her because it really took, it was like 8 out of 10 episodes of her just really rejecting the idea of being this warrior nun. Because she just wanted to live her life. So when she met these people, and she was awkward, right? She had never really had friends. Her only friend was this little boy from the orphanage that was in the bed next to her. So I just enjoyed kind of watching her discover her life, you know? And so none of that bothered me. Like I said, I was kind of rooting for her not to be the warrior nun because, you know, you just want this person to have a chance to live their life, you know? I mean, you know all along that at a certain point she's going to be dragged into it because, you know, it wouldn't be the warrior nun if she never became the warrior nun. But, like, it didn't take too long. Like, I just enjoyed the whole story. So I liked that group that she was, you know, the time she spent with those people and, you know, the whole thing with the boyfriend and, you know, could you trust him? Could you not trust him? You never really kind of knew. You know, the group of people were, you know, they were selfish and they were kind of out for themselves. But, you know, in the end, you know, all except for the one that, you know, kind of turned her in, right? Like the one girl that was giving her all the fashion advice or whatever, you kind of thought she was going to be the one to turn on her, but she didn't, you know.
Right. I guess even just what you're saying there, you think that girl's going to do that thing. I think this entire series, and that's why I think it'll be a lot of fun to go back and watch again, is it's all that shell game. This is what you think is over here, and then this becomes this over here. I felt like if I was to pick a weak point in the show, it would have been that group. Like, I understand, I agree with you that she needed to go out and experience the world. I thought that was a great distraction, a great part of the shell game to make you think that, like, this is where their story is going. And so you really felt for that character, and it was a great character development. But I felt like that gang of four, I think it was, that it was maybe a little too much of a, like, you could have done that with her just meeting a guy. you know, and yeah, just having that experience, you know, hanging out with the guy. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. Like, she abandoned them, you know, which was her, you know, her way of committing to the nuns and committing to that cause. But I felt like, you know, for something that got developed pretty far into the season and then just dropped.
Right.
Completely dropped it. So I thought, you know, and again, I'm not complaining about it. I thought that was like probably the only weak point that I could really point to. But I did enjoy that part of the story, like you said. And that's why I'm kind of interested in going back. Maybe there's more importance to that than I realized watching it the first time. You know, there's probably going to be things in there, just like you just said, like you think this one person was going to turn on her, but it wasn't her. And so there's probably a lot of that, you know, misdirection stuff going on throughout the episodes.
Well, and I think their purpose is just to serve as like character development for her, you know, because she's never really met people, you know, right. I mean, her whole life was, she was just surrounded by the nuns who were taking care of her. And, you know, she had no family that ever came to visit her. So, I mean, yes, it probably could have been done with just the introducing a boy, but like, you know, she got fashion advice from the one girl, like, you know, and she didn't have that. She never would have had that just by meeting a guy.
Right.
You know, and so there was things like she was able to confide in this girl because she never had a girlfriend before and say things that she wouldn't have said to the boy because she was interested in the boy, you know, and
yeah,
you know, didn't want to be look stupid in front of him. So I think they were just plot points to help her kind of find herself and, you know, get some experience with people in the world, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, she's got to get some real world experience. Like I said, not something I was really upset about, but I thought maybe.
I hear you. I just think they were kind of like the opposite of the, you know, because the only other people she was meeting were the nuns, right? And they're the opposite, right? They're super devoted to one cause, being warriors and fighting the demons. And so, like, they're the opposite. And I think they're just kind of helping to round out her experiences, you know, like I said, just kind of develop her personality and to learn what it's like being out in the world because she didn't know that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I agree on that. What was I going to say? Oh, Sister Mary.
Yeah.
Shotgun Mary.
Yeah, she was great.
isn't really a sister.
No, she wasn't. She never took her vows, right?
But right.
And they don't really tell exactly why she's working with the order because, like, Father Vincent, like, they help each other, right? Like, she helps him do the things that maybe he can't have the nuns do. But she's getting something out of it, and you don't really, they never really say what that is, like what her motivation is for helping. But yeah, she's kind of like the outsider looking in. She's trained with them all, but she's not a nun. She hasn't taken any vows.
She's just dedicated to the cause.
Right.
But her relationship with, I think it was Sister Lilith.
Yeah.
Like, they were Sister Mary or Shotgun Mary says, like, she trained Sister Lilith. She taught her, brought her up, taught her how to fight. And Sister Lilith, I think she says, you're the one that taught me how to fire a gun, which is, you know, all typical nun talk.
Exactly. But talk about some good fight scenes, too. The fights between those two.
Yeah.
were really good.
That's what I was going to get to is that some of the best fight scenes in this were the sisters fighting each other.
Yeah.
Throughout this series. The other part of, I wanted to get to like Sister Lilith, and here's that shell game again where she wanted the halo.
Right. Well, she was next in line.
Yeah. I thought she got killed when the wall fell on her, but apparently it didn't.
Right.
But she wanted it, even went as far almost to kill Ava.
Right.
You know, tried to rip it out of her back, and then Sister Mary tackles her, another great fight ensues. But then Sister Lilith jumps in the way, saves Ava's life from what they thought was the demon, but that wasn't a demon. So you're like, where did she go? But then she comes back with this knowledge that still hasn't been expanded upon yet, because we gained all this knowledge in the last like 15 minutes of the show, maybe 20 minutes of the series, where we figured everything out. But Sister Lilith had been telling everybody for like the last episode and a half, don't go in there. Don't do this. But then the team is like, trust the team. We know what we're doing. We're doing that, you know, and then, okay. And then, of course, what everything Sister Lilith was saying came true, which she didn't say anything, but she said, don't do this, and they shouldn't have done it. And I thought that was really cool because they played her up throughout the entire thing as being somebody that was against Ava, somebody that wanted the halo, and now she sacrificed her life, and now they think she came back from hell, and now she's evil because she seems to be against them, and they use her, you know, they try to convince her, like, you're a good person, we know you're a good person, listen to what we're doing, and she goes, okay, and she gives in, but there's so much more here to build on. Like, where did she go? What did she learn? And are we going to find that? Are they going to open season two with just a little going, I told you so.
Like, yeah.
I tried to tell you. All right. Next up, do you want to do Sister Beatrice or do you want to do Jillian Salvius?
Which one's Jillian?
She's the doctor with the son.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
We already hit on Sister Beatrice pretty good. She's your favorite character.
Yeah, Ava's my favorite character, but I thought Sister Beatrice was just a badass. You know what I mean? Like, she was just really cool. Really cool character. But
she's one that I'm very interested to see in the second season because I felt like of all the characters, of all the nuns, I thought she was the most, like, dedicated, pure, good person. Yeah. And if this plays out to the way we're speculating that everything we knew is reversed, like those were angels and not demons or whatever, what if they all find out like that everything's backwards and she would have, I think Sister Beatrice could become like the most compelling character because like her whole world would have been turned inside out.
Right. Well, she's already feeling that betrayal from Father Vincent anyways. Right, because, you know, she believed in him wholeheartedly.
Right.
All of them did, really. I mean, Mary, too, especially. But, you know, Beatrice, like
But we
said,
only got, like
Mary,
2 minutes of that.
Right, because Mary, even though Mary was betrayed as well, like, she has a little bit more jaded view of the world, I would imagine, because of, you know, what she's out there doing.
Right.
Where Beatrice was, like you said, very devoted.
Right.
Like, she took her vows. She was very much believes in God and the devil and all that stuff. And
well, Mary's the one that said that when she first realized, she's like, if Father Vincent is on his side, that means he killed Shannon.
Right.
And that's when, you know, I mean, that's literally 30 seconds before the screen goes black.
Right. But that's why I'm saying I think what you are alluding to with Beatrice is she could have one of the biggest changes to her personality in season two because I think her more than any of them, like her entire world is just turned upside down.
Right.
You know, with Father Vincent's betrayal and finding out that Adriel is alive but not an angel but a demon. So, you know, like I think they're all surprised, but I think she's probably going to take it harder than most.
That's awesome.
Because, yeah.
No, what's awesome is what you just said. And I was waiting for an opportunity to say this part where you said they're all surprised. And what did Ava say? Like, I think it was in the last couple of episodes where she said, nothing surprises me anymore.
Right.
Because since she's come back to life, she came back to life.
Right.
Let's start there. And then everything that's gone on with her, she's at some point, it was like season episode 7, 8, 9, or 10 or whatever. And she says, nothing surprises me anymore, which is another, you know, misdirection where they get to the end and they're all surprised.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think Shotgun Mary was probably somebody that maybe wasn't as surprised. She was surprised, but she's the type of character that you would look at and she go, yeah, that's about right.
Right.
Where you're right. Sister Beatrice is the one that's been saying all along, trust your team.
Right.
Trying to teach Ava, trust in other people. trust your team. Trust us. We will take care of you. And the, and to find out that the one person or one of the people that she's trusted the most, Father Vincent, is now, you know, double agent. And right. this, their entire team has been in pursuit of the wrong agenda.
Well, right. Cause the flip side of that is Cardinal Duretti, who they set up through the entire show to kind of be the bad guy. And he's still not like the greatest of guys because he's still got some self-serving motives, but he's not the villain after all. Like he didn't do the things that they thought he did. And he may end up being like one of their bigger allies in season two, you know, because once he realizes everything that's going on, he may be the one that helps them, you know.
Right. And what's funny is there's a scene with him. Oh, by the way, he hasn't looking good since Clear and Present Danger.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen him since then, to be honest with you. There's a scene in episode 5. Where he's meeting with, I believe it's Sister Beatrice, and they're in like a courtyard out in front of one of their like buildings or something at the Vatican or wherever it was. He's talking to her, and it was funny that I made note of it, you know, mental note of it, because he basically says everything that I said earlier about the origin of the entire comic that Ben Dunn had. And he actually says, he goes, oh, your Taekwondo is really good. And he's talking about how they've developed their skills. And the conversation I thought was supposed to be a nod to the creation of the comic, but I also thought it was, you know, a little misdirection in that you think that he's going to use it for, you know, bad reasons when in actuality, he's the good guy.
Right.
And he's trying to get these characters, all of these nuns, to work on his side and follow exactly what the church. I need somebody that's going to do what I asked them to do, no questions asked.
Right. Well, because again, Father Vincent was sowing all the seeds of discontent to throw the scent off of him and making it look like what Cardinal was trying to do was not help. You know what I mean? Like not following the rules of the church and all of this. When, like you said, in actuality, he was the.
I mean, they made it seem like Father Vincent and the direction that these nuns were looking, it seemed like the entire church was wrong. Like the entire church was like they concocted the story that the church wants the demons on the earth so that they have something to do. It's like you need demons to
make us feel relevant
from them. Yes, exactly. And it seemed like a viable story, especially going into all of this. You're like, okay, well, this is, and as the story played out, you're like, hey, this is entertaining. This is good. I didn't say it was cliche. I was having a good time with it. It was nuns running around and, you know, it was an interesting story. But it's not until that final half hour that you're like, this is way more of a story than I expected.
Right.
But before we get to the very end and we talk about Adriel, before we get to that, what about the entire Jillian Salvius that I mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
Her and her son and that whole entire, like, I'm still unclear on this. Is another reason I want to go back and watch this again and see how does this really play into the whole thing. Where did the son go? Where was she visiting back and forth and putting? Do you have some clarity on that?
Well, Adriel basically tricked her through his agents into creating this portal, and I think the portal was back to wherever he came from, right? So he could escape and go home. So where that is, we don't really know, because we don't know if he's, you know, we're assuming he's going, it's a portal to hell, I guess, right? But how does the kid fit in? I don't necessarily get that either, because he seems to know things. So was Adriel working through the kid? Like, I don't know exactly I don't know what that relationship was with the son, but she was tricked into making that portal, thinking that it was going to help cure her son of whatever illness he had, but it was really Adriel trying to get this portal made so he can get home.
See, I didn't think she was going to cure him. The way I interpreted it, and maybe I was wrong, is I thought, like, she was creating a porthole to heaven, and she could visit him and go with him to heaven.
Right, right, right. Not cure him, necessarily. Right. Because she knew he was going to die all along, and she couldn't save him. It was a way for them to be able to stay together.
Right.
And she thought was whatever dimension. I don't think she thought it was heaven. But she thought it was a dimension where he would be able to continue to exist.
Well, basically, she said, didn't she say at the beginning she's created eternity? Wasn't that the line or something like that? Like, you're creating eternity because if you can go there, you can never die.
Well,
and if
right.
You can go back and forth.
But she didn't think it was heaven because I don't think she was like, she didn't believe in, she's a scientist, right? So I don't think she believed in heaven and hell necessarily. But she thought it was a like I said, a portal to another dimension or somewhere, like you said, eternity, where he could exist and she could stay with him forever.
Right.
And you're right. Like, I don't know. Like, she was another one that you were kind of unsure of through the whole show. Is she just a scientist or, like, is she the bad guy, you know? And you don't really know. Like, she's running these tests on Ava and you don't get the feeling that she cares what happens to Ava one way or the other. She just wants to power up her machine. But then she helps everybody. So you're kind of like, you don't know how to feel about her. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I know. She's one of those, as the story plays out, a lot of misdirection there. You don't know which way she's going. I think by the end, you feel like she was a good person. She had the best intentions. Whether she was tricked, I'm still unclear how Adriel could be tricking her, but I know it's through other people like Father Vincent, and I don't know how Adriel's still pulling strings if he was trapped inside that tomb. Hey, there's a lot of things at play here.
He made the plan. Like, Adriel communicated through Michael, which was the son. The question is how they had a connection that we don't really know, but okay. He drew up. Michael is actually the one that drew up the plans for the portal and put the idea in Jillian's head that it would lead to a world free of pain and disease. But you don't know how they were connected. That's the biggest question.
Right.
Why Jillian took the word of her, you know, I don't know, 10-year-old kid that I should spend, you know, $1 billion building this portal. But it was done through him. But you don't know what the you don't really know who this kid is, like, and what the connection is. And I don't, you know, they don't ever explain it. Maybe it's something we'll learn later on, but
in season 2.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean,
well, actually, you know, I'm reading this thing on Wikipedia. It says Jillian infused Michael with divinium to keep him alive in spite of his blood disorder. So I'm guessing it's the divinium in his blood that allows Adriel to connect with him, because the divinium is, you know, what Adriel's armor and the weapons were all made out of.
Okay.
I think that's what gives them the connection, is like he can connect with the divinium. And so through that, he communicates through Michael and puts this idea in his head that he can build this portal to a place where, you know, there's no pain and there's no disease and where he can live. And that's what drives Jillian to build it. I mean, I think, you know, that is a bit of a leap. Like, I guess if there's a weak point in the story, this would be it, because like, why Jillian like just takes the word of her. So, like,
right.
I wouldn't go building tens of millions of dollars worth of technology because my 10-year-old kid told me to do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that seems a little far-fetched, but, you know, in a show where, you know, there's demons and angels, this sounds far-fetched. But now that I'm looking, you know, because I wasn't clear on that either when I was watching it, but I'm reading this little synopsis and it makes sense to me now, other than the fact that, like, I don't know why she would just accept this as truth, you know? And actually go forward building it. But I'm assuming their connection is because of the divinium that she puts in his, you know, in his bloodstream.
Now, is the divinium, is that come from the, well, Did they explain that to us? Is that came from the quote demon's bones?
No,
is that
it's
where
what,
they,
it's
they
what
got
the,
divinium from?
Oh, I'm not sure. I know it's what all the armor and the weapons and the halo are all made from divinium.
Right,
it's,
and I thought the divinium
I don't know if,
was
I don't
their
know,
bones.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that. I don't know if it says that anywhere.
Remember when Ava was going through the wall?
Yeah.
And she came and she can't go through divinium, so she had to go around that, but it was they speculated in the show that maybe that was one of the demons trying to get through the wall and it died
right
there, didn't make it all the way, so now you have that divinium there, it's in the way. So what I'm saying is they made all those weapons with the bones of the demons, which turned out to what we're thinking is that they're actually angels, which would actually make sense, because if divinium, divine, it would be weapons of, you know, made from actual dead angels.
Right.
And that's kind of sad, but yeah, so it's, there's so much here. It's definitely a show to rewatch.
Yeah.
Before we get to the ending and everything, what'd you think of, did you go through and read all of the titles and look them up as you were going through? Like,
no, I mean, I noticed early on that every title was named after it was a chapter or a verse in the Bible, but I didn't
By
go
episode
and read.
Three, I was reading them as they were, and they actually pertain. Yeah. And then of course I did all the dumb homework. I snapped pictures of it so I'd be able to talk about it in the podcast, and right, you go on Wikipedia and they have them all right there.
Oh yeah.
it's like they have the title, and then they give you exactly what it is. I was like, oh, look at that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all of them pertain exactly to what's going on in the show. You know, like the first one is
Psalms 46:5.
46:5.
Yeah, it says God is within
her. Yeah. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. And it's like, you know, that's her coming back to life, blah, blah, blah. But there's some of them are longer than others, but I thought that one at Revelation 2:10 was for episode 10, and it's, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. And I read that before I watched the episode, and I'm like, huh, I wonder what this could mean. And right, then as the show plays out, I was like, man, it's like they're giving away the ending and you still have no idea.
Right.
And that's like how well this show was done, of so much misdirection. And it's,
well, then it makes you think, like, not to interrupt you, but like when they were writing these episodes, did they have the Psalms in mind when they wrote the episodes, or did they go back through and read the entire Bible to find one that fit what that episode was trying to say?
I would guess these people have a working knowledge of the Bible, at least, you know, not like,
yeah,
me,
but I mean, nobody
Psalms
knows them all. Like, I don't know who knows all the Psalms by heart. You know what I mean? So.
No. Right. But yeah, it's maybe they did. I don't know, but you're right.
Like, I don't know either. It's like the chicken or the egg. I don't know which came first, but it's harder to craft a whole show around Proverbs than it is to probably go find one that loosely resembles what you wrote. I don't know.
Yeah. But I thought they were all pretty spot on.
Yeah.
And it's just another little thing that, you know, the details in this show that, like I said, on a second viewing are going to be a lot of fun. Let's get to that ending.
Okay.
Talk about some serious misdirection. You're thinking, first and foremost, you're thinking that when she finally gets through the wall, she's going to see the bones of Adriel.
Right.
And then you're surprised, you're thinking, not even for a second at this point are you thinking misdirection through this entire series at all. You're just like, oh, and he's there. He's alive, and he looks like Jesus.
Right.
And you're not even thinking, you thought the misdirection was that he wouldn't be there.
Right.
But then as the scene plays out, he's looking like Jesus the entire time. I was expecting him to go, he's not Adriel, he's actually Jesus or something.
Right.
And you find out he's the devil, or he's Adriel.
He's a demon,
which,
right.
He's a demon. He's actually the fallen angel Adriel. He's basically the equivalent of the devil, of Lucifer. Right. 100% evil. And then when he kills that, quote, demon, my favorite is when he looks back and he goes, "You think that's a demon?" I think that's exactly what he said, wasn't it? He goes, "Yeah, and you thought that was a demon." Because he killed it with the halo.
Right.
So if it was a demon, would he have killed it like that? Would he? But it gets into that whole, the line from Usual Suspects, the greatest lie the devil ever told
right.
was that he doesn't exist.
Right. Convincing the world that he doesn't exist.
Yeah. So it's, there's so much there. But then you had you have that little conspiracy theory going on that maybe it's not a big switch.
Well, right. So there's an so he leads you to believe that the Tarrasques were angels, right? Because if he's the demon and he stole the halo, then it would stand to reason that the Tarrasques who are chasing him and trying to retrieve the halo are either angels or like agents of heaven sent to retrieve the halo. But another thought is that like this is all like an internal matter for hell, right? Like Lucifer, who is a fallen angel himself, it could be his halo that was stolen. And if that's the case, then Lucifer would be sending the Tarrasques would still be agents of hell and would still be demons trying to recover the halo for Lucifer and not for heaven. So, like, we don't know exactly what's happening here, but either one will play a radically different, will have a radically different outcome for who Lilith is, right?
Right.
Because if she was being held by the Tarrasques as agents of heaven, that means one thing, right?
Right.
But if she was being held in hell for them, that's something completely different. So you don't know for sure. Now, the thing that sways it for me a little bit in the sense that maybe they're working for heaven is that they didn't kill her.
Right.
You know, like they actually let her come back. Because if they were working for hell, like there's no reason why they would have sent her back, you know.
Right. And the other thing is, I can't imagine that this is an entirely hell-related issue. Like, it's Lucifer and Adriel fighting over a halo, and demons are coming. You would imagine that there would eventually be angels stepping in here, because there's a halo at play. And somebody...
Well, maybe we just haven't seen them yet.
Right. But, you know, it's like, I like the idea...
Because the only thing with thinking that the Tarrasques are working for heaven is that they don't seem to care about the body count they leave behind. You know what I mean?
Well, because if you die, you go to heaven. That's cool.
Maybe. Depends on what kind of life you lived.
Well, you if you know? Got taken out by an angel, I'm sure there's a, you know...
There's a clause, little... yeah.
Yeah.
You have a no stain on your soul clause if you get taken out
right,
by an angel.
Exactly. But I think if it turns out that it's just, you know, a hell issue here, then it's not as big a flip. It's not as big of a story. I think the entire idea that everybody has been turned on their heads here and like what's up is down and, you know, what's left is right. And it's just all different and all not what you expected. And that's exactly how, you know, the devil works, how, you know, obviously what Adriel's pulling off here in Father Vincent. And if you found out that those were just angels, I mean, not angels, and they were just more demons, I there's nobody really fighting for the good side at that point.
Well, the nuns are. Maybe the angels are confident that the nuns can handle themselves and they don't feel the need to step in.
Oh, actually, you know who's on the good side? Like, if those, quote, Tarrasques, as I didn't know that's what their names were. I couldn't remember. If those are the angels, you have the demons are pulling. Remember, that's those ghost figures that embody right. the people. And that's how they ended the series of
well,
them
they,
all
yeah,
attacking.
They definitely have to be demons because they
those
were,
are demons.
Yeah, they're yeah. causing people to do bad things. So
right,
those are definitely demons. You just know exactly what the Tarrasques are.
The Tarrasques aren't really trying to kill people. They're trying to get that halo back because the people that are using the halo, they're using it for a mission that's incorrect. You know, they have the best intentions. The nuns think they're doing the right thing. One, here's a little flaw in the whole story. Why doesn't Sister Lilith just come back and go, guys, I was in heaven.
Right.
We got this all wrong.
It's like, well, but again, that leads you back to the theory that she wasn't in heaven. You know,
or maybe she doesn't know where she was, because when she comes back, she can grow fingernails at an astounding rate.
Right.
She has a little knowledge of, like, don't do this, but I'm not sure if she knows why.
Yeah, and I don't know, but...
What I thought was funny is they, you know, they left you little breadcrumbs of what's going, of what the ending would be, like when Sister Lilith dies and all the nuns. So did she go, I think it was Beatrice that said it, like, did she go to heaven? Did she go to hell? Where did she die? Where did she go? And they all said, we don't know.
Right.
You don't know. And that was a scary thought. I was scared out of that thought because you're like, she got taken away by a demon. It's like, oh, and one of the sisters said she must have been so scared. And it was, but you're just like, yeah, so yeah. Much going on. Can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah. Well, and I'm really interested in, you know, hopefully a season two, because there's a lot of questions. Like, this is the most questions I've had since I Am Your Father, Luke. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Like, there's a lot of questions, because there's a lot to debate here. Like, especially just coming from the last, and really most of it comes from the last episode.
Like, well, because it took all the other episodes and turned them upside down.
I can't think of another show recently where, like, I've had this many questions or this many things to think about between seasons. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It really did leave a lot. Like, it's much deeper than it seems like it is on the surface as you're going through it. But you get to the ending, and it's like, you realize, like, there's a lot going on here.
Right.
And, you know.
The only thing I could liken it to would be, and it's in a completely different way, but Carnival Row. How deep Carnival Row was, because if you just looked at it, and it was like fairies and whatever, and you would,
right.
You're just like, oh, it's a good story. But it was a much, much deeper, more colorful story than what was on the surface. And this one is in a completely different way because it's, you know, it's all misdirection. And at the end, and you don't see it coming at all.
Right.
Because they just play it off so well as just being a, you know, oh, nice. You tuned in for a nice little, you know, warrior story. I thought it was a great, great job.
Yeah. I didn't see it coming. Like, usually by the time I get close to the end, I've figured it out. But I didn't see this one coming until it literally hit me, you know, hit me in the face, you know. It's like, oh, he's the bad guy. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, and I was still reeling when it ended. And that's one of the things.
And even
that,
when you, oh, was, even when you realized he was the bad guy, you still didn't know Father Vincent was the bad guy.
No.
Until 10 minutes later. So.
Yeah, until he walked over and you're like,
right.
Eh. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's like even the way it ended so suddenly, you're like, but I'm still reeling. I got questions here. It's like, and they just left you. Maybe we'll come back. Hopefully there's a season two.
Right.
You're like, no.
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty ticked off if there isn't because I want to know what happens, you know.
So that's my last question. Do you want a season two?
Nah, I think I'm done. yeah, of course I do.
The one thing with season two, I'll say, I'm afraid that it's going to be disappointing because when you have such a buildup like that, all season two is going to do is answer a bunch of questions.
Yeah, but hopefully raise some more along the way, you know.
Because
by now she's firmly entrenched in the warrior nun role. The question is it going to be like Titans, where you have this big lead up to season two, and then like she beats Adriel in the first 10 minutes, and then we move on to another villain? Or is it going to be something where like this battle takes, you know, goes across the entire season? You know, we don't know. But
right.
I'm kind of hoping for the latter and not the former, you know?
Well, yeah. Does Shotgun Mary live?
Right.
Is she just taken over? Is, I mean, what? And like, I liked our version of like, what's going to happen to Sister Beatrice? It's,
yeah,
that's going to be a, you know, a compelling story. And hopefully they write it as well as they wrote this one.
I hope so. Cause like I said, she's bound to be a much more jaded character in season two. Much more conflicted in her beliefs, you know, and yeah, a lot more like Mary, probably, you know.
Yeah.
So
she'd probably take over for Mary.
Yeah. Shotgun Beatrice.
And then so. Where's Sister Lilith? How does she react? Does she say, like, you know, like, I guess I was in heaven after all, or whatever? Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? Lots to think about. Looking forward. I can't wait for that announcement when they, you know. 2 weeks in a row, two Netflix series in a row, really good.
Yeah.
The Old Guard, can't wait for the next one of that. Now we have Warrior Nun. Doesn't get much better than, oh yeah, it could. We didn't have a virus going on.
Oh. Well, I mean, we got the next one to look forward to, which is Umbrella Academy.
Yep.
Season
Umbrella
2.
Umbrella Academy Dallas. Yep.
Yep.
That so starts in 2 weeks.
Yeah, hopefully it just keeps, you know, the hits keep coming, you know. So.
Yeah, that comes next. Oh, actually, Friday.
Yeah, it's this week, right?
Yeah, it comes out on, well, Friday the 31st, the end of.
Oh, the Friday. This is 10 days. Yeah, 10 days from now.
Well, as this comes out on Monday.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I ruined the illusion.
All right. Well, let's get back to the illusion. So, John, what do we have coming out on Wednesday?
The only real book of note is X Factor number one. Finally comes out. You know, it feels like we've been waiting for that one for a while. I mean, everything else is like Empire number three comes out, and there's a bunch of just next issues coming out. But the only really big new book is X Factor.
Okay. Any new indies that you know coming out?
Nothing that stood out on my invoice. No, the only
AWA's
number one
got to have a few coming out, like number twos and threes from their series.
Yeah, literally. Like, well, even that. The only thing that stood out was X Factor. I can't remember if there's anything else.
Well, we will find out on Wednesday,
yeah, we'll
and
find
we
out.
Will talk about it on Thursday morning.
Yep. Well, I'm sure we'll read something, so we'll talk about it then.
Yep. Exactly. All right, if you've tuned in this long, that means you've probably watched all of Warrior Nun, or you don't care about spoilers. Either way, what did you think? What do you think of Warrior Nun? Let us know on Twitter at brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. If you've tuned in this long and you haven't seen it, obviously you got to go see it. There's even more to it than that because I want to see it again. It actually might be fun to actually listen to this ahead of time.
Yeah.
But that was such a great reveal at the end.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, that's Luke, I am your father at the end, all in one season. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. That it for this week?
I think so.
Alrighty. I am out of here. I will be back on Wednesday night so that we can record our Thursday morning podcast where we talk all about Wednesday's books.
Yep.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
Alrighty. Talk to you then.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.